B-Pod Studios.
When the Eagles went to the NFC Championship in 2001, it felt like I was in another world. I thought, like, because I was just used to seeing the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Broncos. I was used to those teams going to conference championship games all the time. You know what I'm saying? And that changed the culture with Philadelphia.
Right, you mean against the Rams, the first one?
Yeah, in 2001. Yeah.
Greatest show on turf.
The culture. You know what I'm saying? You can't call up and say, oh, that's for nothing. I mean, them guys put in tons of work. And some Joe Blow, who probably never played a down of any type of organized sports in his life, because if he did, he would never say anything like that. He's going to call up and just say,
wow.
He's going to call up and say that's pointless. And he could call up tomorrow and get his feelings if he wants to. I'm telling the truth. Trey Thomas in your studio went through injuries and all that stuff, battling out there for guys like me and himself before the fans. And this Joe Blow going to call up and say, all that was pointless.
Snap. What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Trey?
And there you go.
Thanks for the call, Philly J. And I understand where Philly J is coming from. I understand to a point where Mike's coming from, because it always ended in disappointment. And it was a lot of the same mistakes over and over and over again.
It's almost like Reed's success hurt him.
Well, because he set the bar so high.
Yeah.
And like, then it was like, all right, top that. All right, top that. All right, top that.
Philly J had a great point. Like, Dick Vermeil's revered in this town because mm-hmm. he got out before he reached that success too often, and therefore didn't give you disappointment. No, he turned an organization around, took you to a Super Bowl, lost it, but then got out because
And I was saying to Mike the other day, it's really hard for me to hate Reed because his blueprints are all over this team. Not only did he change the whole direction of this organization, they've become not the gold standard, but a pretty damn good standard in this league over the last 25 years. And he left you without Andy Reid, we don't have Jason Peters. Without Andy Reid, we don't have Jason Kelsey. Without Andy Reid, we don't have Nick Foles. And without Andy Reid, we don't have Doug Peterson. So his blueprint is all over this team and the winning that came from it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to hate the guy.
Yeah, you know who else we don't have? Brandon Graham. The man who made that play in the Super Bowl.
Bless that man.
Bless that.
Seriously, I watched Brady get the ball back yesterday, and I think we all kind of had the same thought of, oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of Brandon Graham. I tweeted at him, and I was like, thank you for slaying the vampire.
Yeah. Well, it was that, and then also the idea that Andy Reid drafted Brandon Graham.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So his blueprint was literally all over that Super Bowl.
He didn't take Earl Thomas, who sucks. Earl Thomas, I've always said it. That Earl Thomas character sucks. Right, Trey?
Yeah,
I'm kidding. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank, financial solutions for your business. All right, now, Jamie, do you have that the national anthem? All right, here's the national anthem sung before yesterday's...
Not the greatest quality, but it'll do.
Before yesterday's NFC championship, Jimmy Buffett took the microphone for the Star Spangled Banner.
Dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched.
Very basic so far.
Sounds like he's just trying to get through it.
Yeah. It sounds like, am I getting paid yet?
That check clear?
That's one of my neighbors at a 4th of July party saying, hey guys, let's start this off right. I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
That's great, yeah. All right, he's going to bring it home now.
Come on, Jimmy.
No. Crack.
All right.
Whoa. Burgers and dogs on the grill. Everybody help yourself when you get a chance.
Keg tap, get after it.
And he dropped the mic. I just thought it was inappropriate that he had a parakeet on his shoulder. That was the only thing that I thought was just a little... No, I thought that was just very basic.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
I actually love that.
You love the bass?
That might be the best rendition of the national anthem I've ever heard.
Oh, come on.
Side of Whitney Houston in the Super Bowl of the Bills and the Giants.
Yeah, that's the greatest.
That is the greatest.
You're
that,
Russian.
That might be the single greatest national anthem rendition I've ever heard.
Marvin Gaye.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they even have, it's a serviceman that comes and sings the national anthem.
Oh, yeah, what's his name? Reginald something?
Yeah, I don't know his name,
he's awesome.
He kills
he's
it every
great.
Year. Yeah,
he's phenomenal.
He's really good.
And he does the salute at the end.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's a beast.
Oh, yeah. I get all misty-eyed.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the deal with the Jimmy Buffett fella. He just got through it. Like, just got done.
Yeah, you're like, look, I just want to get through this.
Like, he fulfilled his obligation.
Yeah.
He honored America. And he didn't waste our time.
Yeah.
He didn't try to draw it out with... He wasn't like Andy...
He wasn't Glory Hogger.
He wasn't... Yeah, you know what? He wasn't Andy Bernard from The Office.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't... Nope, he wasn't doing that. He was just rocking it out. Just got through it. I don't even know if he got paid.
I would just assume.
Boom. Yeah. Done.
Am I the only one here that's been to a Jimmy Buffett concert? Anyone?
I know I've never
I
been to
never
one.
Been.
I
mean,
Well, I've been to a couple because my dad's a parrot head. And,
no way. Are you serious?
Yeah, he is, yeah. We've done family outings to Jimmy Buffett concerts. And even parrot heads will admit to you he's not the most musically gifted guy in the world.
Well, neither was Bob Dylan.
But yeah, it's a great party.
Yeah, exactly. He's the party. He's not the musician. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's all about getting drunk, having a good time, and singing about shark fins and cheeseburgers.
Playing in sand in a parking lot?
Exactly.
Where did the sand get here?
If that game was in, like, Tampa Bay or something, okay, Jimmy Buffett, great, come on out with your, you know, a Hawaiian shirt, whatever it may
be. Yeah.
But my God, you couldn't pick a better singer in New Orleans?
In New Orleans?
But see, okay, now,
Harry Connick Jr., where are you?
Let me tell you something about that Harry Connick Jr. fella, all right? I love that guy. I've seen him in concert. He's phenomenal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's very talented.
But here's the deal, right? He came out after the Saints won the Super Bowl in, what, 2009? Remember in 2010? Jamie, I think you were on the crew then. Mm-hmm. 2010, we go to New Orleans. Harry Connick Jr. is supposed to come out on a float singing When the Saints Go Marching In. Totally abandoned the song. Huh? Harry Connick Jr. singing When the Saints Go Marching in his native Louisiana in Nolens. And guess what? Abandoned the song. Stopped singing because people weren't into it.
Huh. So what did he do?
He just like raised his arms like, hey, everybody get pumped up.
Oh, okay.
You want a little Jimmy Buffett fun fact?
What's that?
Actually, after one of his songs, Jamaica Mistake, he was in a plane that was transporting pounds of weed, and he got shot at by the government in one of these drug planes.
Well, hey now. That man has lived.
Yeah, he's got some stories.
He's probably on that plane praying, dear Lord, if I ever get out of this, I'll sing the national anthem. The best rendition of the national anthem Mark Farzad has ever heard.
He's a party boy. He's not exactly the most talented musician in the world.
Shocking. Shocking a musician is like that. But here, let's
get down. I love a businessman, though.
Oh, totally. But let's talk about let's get down to brass tacks here, okay?
Uh-huh.
Nick Foles.
Yes.
Greatest quarterback in Eagles history. Nick Foles gets $1 million bonus from the Eagles for something that on the books he did not earn.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get 33% of the team's snaps. He missed it by 4 snaps. The Eagles, now this came up for debate after the Washington Redskins game, after week 17 when they won and make the playoffs. Nick Foles was supposed to get those extra snaps, but got hurt, so he had to leave the game early. Nate Sudfeld came in. Good old Studfeld came in, threw a touchdown pass. Good for him. But Nick Foles missed out on the opportunity to cash in $1 million bonus. I remember we talked about it following week 17, and we're almost like just having fun with it. They ought to just give it to him anyway. And I remember, I think all of us, to a man, were saying, well, no, you don't just give it to him. What kind of precedent does that set, right? Well, it comes out over the weekend, per league sources, that Nick Foles got awarded the $1 million bonus. The Eagles rounded up. To me, this means one thing. And this is, you peel back the layers of the onion, right? And to me, it means that the Eagles are trying to build up as much goodwill as possible so that Nick Foles does not buy his free agency with $2 million before they're able to re-up with him for the $20 million. And that means the Eagles have better odds to trade him. That's what it means to me. They give him this $1 million bonus, even though he didn't earn it, didn't get it on paper, didn't earn it, didn't get it. They build up the goodwill in whatever way possible in an attempt to have him agree to not buy back free agency. They give him $20 million. he's able to the team is then able to shop him around the league, see what they can get back in a trade, and Nick Foles would then have to forfeit his ability to choose where he wants to go, probably get the biggest contract that he could probably get, and the Eagles are trying to prevent him from doing that. This is their attempt to lure him back to the Eagles.
That's all fine and good, but for everybody else that missed their bonuses,
totally.
You know what I'm saying? What does that say to the guys that missed the sack bonus or workout clause or whatever? I mean, I feel that them doing it, all right, that's cool. But for everybody else that missed their bonuses, that's kind of a slap in the face.
Sure. Howie might have a line of 15 deep, bro, waiting outside of his office today. Excuse me. I missed it by 42 yards.
Yeah, right.
They sat me in the fourth quarter, that big win or loss that we had against the Saints. I could have gotten it. Can you give me my bonus, please, too?
Or how about that Carson Wentz was focusing too much on Zach Ertz? I didn't get my receptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't get your reception total. So now, where does that leave you? You know what I'm saying? I get it. I mean, I know that he would have reached his goal, but he did not. That's why you have these things put in your contract. It's black and white. It's not up for suggestion. It's not, hey, if you get close, we'll reward you.
That's why there's a scoreboard in games.
That's why we keep score. Now, it's dumb on Nick's part again, because if he does agree to the $20 million and stays on for the extra year, he can't pick his destination. He goes to a team that, because of a trade, won't be as good, whether that because they don't have the assets in the draft or they gave up a good player to get him. And also, he won't get the best valued contract because the team isn't just paying money. They're also giving up assets.
Do you want to hear a nightmare scenario?
Oh, boy.
Somebody tweeted this out there, and I didn't think about it until they mentioned this. They say, can you imagine if Tom Brady wins another, walks off into the sunset, and Nick Foles becomes a free agent? ...
Oh, no.
Could you imagine?
In the evil empire?
Wow.
Because the thought of Brady winning and walking off into the sunset did cross my mind.
All right, so let's entertain this for a second. So let's wallow in this.
That's an
wallow
evil,
in this
disturbed thought.
So he goes to the Patriots. Bill Belichick proves it wasn't all Tom Brady.
Yes.
Goes back to the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz is good enough to be the MVP of the league, gets the Eagles back to the Super Bowl, loses on a touchdown reception by Nick Foles.
Just cancel sports radio. It's over.
It's over. We've already imploded if anything like that would happen in New Orleans happened to us.
It's not, I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's not that crazy.
No, it's not. It's very possible. Very possible. Sam, do you have a Twitter poll update for us brought to you by Window Nation?
I do. This morning we asked, would you be in favor of more replay in the NFL? We have just under 900 votes so far. 65% say yes. So
more replay.
Yes.
More replay in the NFL, and they should what they're referring to is the ability to challenge pass interference calls or non-calls on the field. I know Sean Payton would have loved to throw a challenge flag on that non-PI call from last night. 610-632-0975. What do you make of this whole Nick Foles scenario?
How's everyone doing?
And I hate to say this, but I got to tell you, there's a reason why the Eagles don't owe Nick Foles anything. Because they already re-up with him. And I'll talk to you about what that means in a second coming up on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas with you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. So here's the deal with Nick Foles. As we said before the break, he got hurt before the hurt during the Washington game. Missed a few snaps towards the end of that game. Nate Sudfeld came in. In total, he missed four snaps. He needed four snaps to get to 33% on the season for the Eagles to hit a $1 million bonus. He was at 32.6. Needed those four more snaps to get him to 33. Missed out on it. But the Eagles over the weekend, according to reports, said, you know what, anyway, Super Bowl MVP, thanks very much. Here's $1 million, no problem. Eagles don't owe Nick Foles anything.
No.
They even went out of their way to restructure his deal. And that's what I say. They don't owe him anything. They already went above and beyond.
And didn't he get to the bonuses already at the end of the season for winning these games and getting to the playoffs? Yeah.
Yeah. So the deal was getting to the playoffs. Yeah, he got a deal there. But he also got negotiated in that deal after they won the Super Bowl. This was back in April. He agreed to more incentives in his deal. And who wouldn't do that? He could get more money that way. Uh-huh. But also got $2 million. Just like that, just for doing the renegotiation. Mm-hmm. So we got a $2 million raise, and now as part of the incentives with this other $1 million, with the restructured contract, got $3 million. So they already went above and beyond to give him more money to reward a guy that was the Super Bowl MVP, that is the Super Bowl MVP, a guy that helped you win your first ever Super Bowl in franchise history, and they dug into the books of Brandon Brooks to go give him that money. And Brandon Brooks even acknowledged that because, mm-hmm. quote, the Super Bowl MVP deserved more money.
Yeah, and then they gave him this bonus for getting close. I mean, I was always taught getting close only counts in horseshoes.
And hand grenades.
And hand grenades.
Yeah, I grew up with that too, man. I'm with you. I agree. They don't owe him anything. As much as I want to say, yeah, you owe Nick Foles the world, that's not going to happen, and that's not good business. And I know the era you played in, Trey, with Joe Banner, this wouldn't happen. Like, there's no, oh, yeah, hey, you got close enough, here you go.
Uh-huh.
Can you think of one guy that got close and, oh, you got close, here you go, no problem.
With who?
Anybody.
No, I
never
can't,
happened.
No. And I want everybody to understand, like, everybody, like, oh, y'all, you guys hate Joe Banner. And I don't hate Joe Banner. Right. I respect the hell out of him. I think what Joe did, he helped Mr. Lurie build a damn empire.
A business empire.
I mean, a business empire. And he ran the team as such. I mean, you know, but, man, to say, hey, man, you got close to your incentive, you know, hey, all right, I'll give you that extra meal.
Right, it sets a bad precedent around for the rest of the team. But the other part of this is mm-hmm. that I, again, believe this is a ploy to buy goodwill with Nick Foles. And in order to do that, they were just like, yeah, we'll give him the extra million. We already gave him the extra $2 million at the end of last year. That was some goodwill because they want him to stay. They just don't want to have to pay him to stay. So I believe this $1 million is a handshake-type deal on a $1 million, hey, here's some goodwill for you. Please pay it back to us. In other words, here's $1 million now. Then when we re-up for the $20 million, when we pick up that option, don't buy your free agency with the $2 million buyback and let us trade you to a place that, yes, you will want to go. You will be in on the trade, but allow us to get something back. Because what they're going to try to do is get something back that's better than the third round pick they would get back with compensation.
Compensatory
pick.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Compensatory pick if they allow him to just walk in free agency. So they're going to try to get a second round pick. They're going to try to get a player. They're going to try to get something better than that third or maybe fourth round pick they get back for compensatory purposes.
We'll scratch your back and let us scratch our own back at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if you're Nick Foles, this is stupid. If I'm Nick Foles, you're done. Like, you're done as an Eagle.
You just gave me 50% of my buyout. Thanks.
Thank you.
Exactly. You just paid for half my buyout, exactly. And then the other part of this is, if you're not trading Carson Wentz, then what am I doing here? If I really want to lead a team, a good team, and go where I want to go and make the most money possible, why am I going to stay in Philadelphia? That's the thing I always go back to. When we were talking to Adam Schefter about this last week, he said, with as smart as the Eagles can be, as manipulative of the rules that they can be, he didn't see a scenario where the Eagles just let him walk. He sees a scenario where the Eagles will find a way to trade Nick Foles. And to me, if I'm Nick Foles and I really believe that I can lead a team next year, then there's no way, shape, or form I'm allowing the Eagles to have any say whatsoever in where I end up next year. Where is the benefit for him there?
Yeah.
A safety net that you're going to get $20 million, no matter what, for at least one more year?
Yeah.
You might at worst get franchise tagged for about $25
million? Or he can do like Jamie just said, present it to us and take whatever the Patriots want to give him and just...
Yeah, right.
Well,
at least what was that, Bill? Tom's retiring as a six-time Super Bowl champion? Yeah, I'll play up there.
Yeah, right.
That sounds fun.
Well, at least if you're the Eagles, he's not in the division.
Yeah. Could you imagine a Wentz versus Foles game? Well, it could happen in several scenarios.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we all acknowledge, though, this is a terrible. This would be a terrible business decision by Nick Foles to let this $1 million bonus affect him, right?
Yeah.
Other than a thank you, and like Jamie said, you just paid half my buyout. That's where you should draw the line, right? It would be dumb for Nick Foles to allow the Eagles to trade him. Do we all agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's taken away he's taken away his own power.
Yes. Yeah. Again, like I pointed out already, you're then going to a team, if you're Nick Foles and you got traded by the Eagles, that is not as strong as it could be because they gave up picks or they gave up a player, whatever it might be. And if those teams are giving up those two things, that will also affect how much money you're making in that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes zero sense whatsoever. And let's not forget the best part of it all for him is the freedom. To do whatever the hell you want. Free agent. And the Eagles would still get something in return. So for the people that just say, oh, they let him walk for nothing, well, you're still going to get a compensatory pick.
The worst thing that could happen to the Eagles is that they said, you know what, we're going to give you that bonus. And Foles turned around and said, keep it.
Whoa.
And here's $1 million on top of it, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, we all know
there's
he's not going to
buy
that.
Out.
Trey, you ever meet a player that refused a bonus?
Well, he's going to owe him $2 million anyway, so keep your one. Yeah, here's your other one, and I'll see you.
$1 million in your pocket, still $1 million
in your
pocket.
Take that $1 million. We'd see whatever. I mean, but here's my thing. If they wouldn't have given the bonus, would it have been announced?
No.
Yeah,
because he didn't get it.
I know. Well, he didn't get it.
Yeah. But he got it.
Yeah.
He didn't get it, but he got it. There's one player, and it was a pitcher in baseball that went to play for the Yankees that I know turned down more money. I can't remember the guy's name, but he wasn't like a big deal, but the Yankees doing Yankee things were going to overpay him. This was like in the mid-90s. And the guy walked out of the meeting with his agent and just said, let's get the hell out of here. And he was like, what are you talking about?
I kind of remember that
story. Like, yeah, he's like, I can't play for that money. That is just too much. I can't do it. I can't handle that pressure. And the guy didn't play. Dennis Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
In the media's rush to say what a tremendous job Brady did yesterday, and he did. I mean, he's Tom Brady. He's the best. But if not for Dee Ford being in the neutral zone, he throws three picks in that game, and they lose. I mean, the guy clanks one off the upright against the Eagles, and people are ready to run him out of town. That's why the Eagles won. The ball goes through Jeffrey's hands, and the Saints pick it off. That's why the Saints won. Dee Ford lines up in the neutral zone, nullifies an interception that ends the game, but Brady led him on a tremendous comeback. You see what I'm saying? They won that game because Dee Ford lined up in the neutral zone and because of a coin flip.
Teams aren't winning games. Teams are losing games is what you're saying.
Teams are losing games. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, I got two Eagle questions for you.
Okay.
I called you guys maybe about 5-6 weeks ago with a barroom question about Reed, Mahomes, Peterson,
Yes.
Would you rather?
Yeah.
My two new barroom questions are, one, this draft, your first four picks have to be either offense or defense. You can't mix and match them. Which way do you go? And my other question would be, would you have preferred the Rams drafted Wentz?
And we take Goff?
No. I'll take Wentz over Goff. I'll answer the second question first.
Yeah. I'm still taking Wentz over Goff.
I think the Rams are pretty happy with their choice.
Yeah, they are, but they're also happy with the money that they've spent in the areas that they've spent it. If you're just boiling it down to the quarterbacks, I'm still taking Wentz.
So if we had Goff,
to answer your first part of that, I'm taking two offensive players before I'm taking two defensive players.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going all offense first four picks.
Okay, so we agree on that.
Offense.
Yeah.
Because I think the number one need of this team is a running
just
back.
Think of it this way. If the Eagles had drafted Goff, he doesn't get hurt last year. And Foles
can't say that.
We don't know.
He doesn't get hurt.
Exactly. I still will take Carson Wentz over Jared Goff. And I was tweeting with somebody last night that put something towards me regarding Jared Goff raising that NFC Championship trophy before Carson Wentz.
It was Jamie.
Yeah, it wasn't Jamie. But I'm thinking, yeah, wow, if you would have watched the rookie years and told me that he'd be hoisting that trophy before Carson Wentz, I would have said you were nuts.
Yeah.
And then look at this. Did Goff get benched his rookie year? I think he played seven games, then he got benched after that.
That was in Case Keenum.
He came in late. That's right. No, Case Keenum started the season, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, and then Goff came in the second half.
Yeah, it was reversed.
Case Keenum.
Yeah, exactly. The Hall of Famer for stints at a time, Case Keenum.
This would be a good example of why you don't start the bridge guy.
What do you mean? Oh,
just give Jared Goff the reins right away.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because what the hell did Case Keenum do?
Take your lumps.
But yeah, exactly.
Take your lumps early.
It would have been like Sam Bradford starting Carson Wentz's rookie year instead of getting traded.
Yeah, no, the Eagles did the right thing by starting Carson Wentz game one like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Case Keenum got the Rams nothing, and you could even say it stunted Goff's growth for that first year.
I never wanted, I don't think any of us wanted Sam Bradford here to begin with.
No.
Frank in the Poconos, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got 3 points. I was just listening to that last caller, and he said, about Brady and D Ford lining up in the neutral zone. Hey, they saw that it was lined up in the neutral zone. They saw the flag go up. It was a free play.
Yeah.
So to say that was a determining factor in the game, that it was a non-interception is just ridiculous. Number two, right? If I'm Nick Foles, I'm saying screw you, Eagles, and I'm going someplace else. Because every time you had the head coach in front of a microphone, he says, no, Carson Wentz is my starting quarterback. And Nick Foles brought you a Super Bowl. He got you a playoff win, and it wasn't Nick Foles' fault that pass was intercepted because it went right through Aguilar's hands. So, I mean, if it's going to be a backup to Tom Brady, I'd love to see it.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah.
See, if you're Nick Foles, I don't think you're saying screw you, but here's what's come up with Nick Foles regarding his attitude and whether or not he really does want to lead a team. People go back to that idea of him wanting to retire at the age of, 27, I think he was, 26, and him contemplating retirement. I don't think that Nick Foles still exists, but I will say it is odd anytime somebody wins a championship, plays at the level Nick Foles played at,
agreed,
and then was fine with going back to the backup role. But at the same time, it was like, what choice did he have? Like, he didn't have the choice to demand a trade. He didn't have a choice to demand being the starter. So the only real role for him was to go back to the backup spot.
Right, but as far as standing up for himself, you know, hey, I'm a team player, but I'm the one that brought you this far.
Yeah, now's the time for that.
Yes, yes. And I mean, if you look at Carson Wentz, what has he done for you the past 2 years? Yes, he was having an MVP season, but he didn't finish. So it's like the difference between horse, you know, hand grenades, you know, it doesn't matter. He didn't finish the season. Okay. Now this year he got hurt again. He's damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you don't want to keep Nick Foles. All right. You're going to have to build a team around. If you're going to keep Nick Foles, you're going to have to make him a pocket passer, do exactly what the Patriots are doing. And if Nick Foles was smart, he'd buy out. And he would go to New England, be another backup quarterback for one more year, and then he'll just take right over. Because if you look at a little earlier, somebody said about bonuses and would somebody turn down a bonus. Tom Brady isn't even the top 15th paid quarterback. He gives that money back to the team, and they invest in players, and it's the Patriots culture. I see Nick Foles being that type of quarterback. If he can win a couple more Super Bowls with the Patriots, he would be very much the next Tom Brady.
It feels like, Frank, thanks for the call, buddy. Brett Favre already called him that. Is there a problem,
taking
Bob?
Taking on a life of his own now.
He's going to be the next Tom Brady.
Well,
I'm sorry. Tom Brady does it without very many weapons. Tom Brady does it because he is so great. We're just plugging in Nick Foles and saying, New England's going to ride it off. They're just no. There's going to be no dip after Tom Brady's because you know why?
No, no, no. It's all Bill Belichick. Tom Brady's quarterback, Bob. You haven't heard about this?
Let's not leave out the offensive line here, man.
Line's nothing. It's all Bill Belichick.
What are you talking about, dude? I mean, to play a game, zero sacks, only one quarterback hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, they rushed for 176 yards behind them.
I was calling for the offensive line of the Patriots to be the MVP.
My God.
I'm already naming them the Super Bowl MVP.
I trained one of their guards, I trained the cat down at IMG before he came into the draft.
Which
man.
One?
That was awesome.
Who'd you train? You were talking about him earlier
year. How do you pronounce his last name? I don't know how you pronounce his last name.
Wait, hold on. I know who you're
number
talking
62.
About.
All right. Well, good for you.
I swear I know who you're talking about.
You did a great job.
Thank you. I am awesome.
He kept Tom Brady clean.
Yeah, Joe Tooney. Yeah, Tooney.
Tooney.
Yeah. I don't know how you pronounce it.
He particularly looked good.
Not Tooney.
Yeah, man.
When I was watching him, I was like, man, that's Trey Thomas. Yeah. That's Trey Thomas lined up at guard.
I'm like, wow, you come in as a rookie, you win right out the gate, then now you're right back at it again, and here you go three times.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what they're doing
up
there.
Unsung heroes.
But Bill Belichick has, I don't know what deal he has made or what they're doing, but my God, they have a program up there that just continues to dominate the game.
Well, you know how sometimes contracts are in the like Pro Football Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, like the contract, you know, the first ever contract to do whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, his contract with the devil is actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Did you know that?
Or his deal with God. I don't know.
Signed by
whichever
Satan.
One. Yes. But it, I mean, to be able to continue to win the way he's been doing, and I mean, of course, all of these players have names, but you're always like, with who? You know, you have Gronk, you have and Tom Brady, and on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, it's no one that's like big time major superstars, but he puts together a squad that believes in the program, and they continue to win.
Hey, here's the scary thing with Tom Brady, and it's a realization that I had to come to, and I really came to it before the Super Bowl last year, so maybe it will change. But just really, you think about it, Tom Brady. If you look at the greatest names ever to play in any sport ever, you could make the easiest argument ever that Tom Brady is the greatest athlete ever. Like, most successful, statistically, like all that stuff. Of anyone that played ever, I used to think Wayne Gretzky in hockey because he had the stats, they had the record books and all that, and he had the championships, but it was a super team. Like, you look around a lot of those teams, around those great players, and Will Chamberlain, obviously, what, two championships, one with the Lakers. But you look back on some of those guys, and the teams they played on were great, but then when those teams were dismantled, they were done winning.
Yeah.
With Tom Brady, it's like you restructure his deal, restructure the team, championship. Restructure his deal, restructure the team, championship.
Yeah.
No matter who is around him, the guy still wins.
You dismantle the team every year. There's so much turnover every year, and they continue to get it done.
And it's not even little things. Like, it's like LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount rushed over 300 times, 18 touchdowns, whatever it was when he was there. Yeah, okay, sorry, you got to go. We're just going to plug somebody else in. Like, they get rid of their best people at certain positions, and he still carries it on.
I respect the guy, but I never root for him.
But hate him.
God, but damn. Like, I got to give that to him. I mean, it's hard to argue against it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. By the way, Tom Brady now 3-0 in overtime games in the playoffs. His opponents never touched the ball in those wins.
Did you notice a coin toss yesterday when New England won it? The ref like turned to say, "You want the ball?" And the guys were already running off to the sideline. Yeah, give us the ball. Give it to Tom.
You know
we're
want
good.
The ball.
See ya.
That, and I saw it almost hit the ref's foot.
Yeah, he did have to push it back a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly. He had to dodge the coin. We got Brian in Dallas, and we got wide open lines after that. 610-632-0975. If you want to get in, did Nick Foles deserve the $1 million bonus? Were you surprised that the Eagles gave it to him? Also talking about replay in the NFL. Are you open for more replay? Coming up, we got some more Super Bowl information for you, including some great prizes that people just in attendance, just people that are enjoying the party, when they show up at the Met February 1st, the Friday before the Super Bowl, what you could enjoy, what you could win for not even tossing a beanbag. No, just for attending, just for having yourself a good time, just for partying with us. Listen to Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Crazy developments here at Farzetta and Trey in the morning. We'll get to that in 1 second, but top of the hour, we're going to let you hear how New Orleans reacted to getting the old heave-ho last night, not getting the call for them, the pass interference call in last night's NFC Championship game. We'll let you hear from New Orleans, their play-by-play call from radio, and we'll also let you hear from good old Bobby Hebert, former Saints quarterback, had a little conspiracy theory.
about what happened last night. Also talking about Nick Foles and his $1 million phantom bonus. We'll call it the phantom bonus for the Eagles rounding up for him missing out on four snaps that would have got him over his incentive of 33% of the Eagles snaps. So we'll talk about that. But new development. Jamie just said to me, hey, we're doing an Uber Eats thing.
Yeah. Because the building, cafeteria, restaurant, whatever you want to call it, is closed.
Yes.
For Martin Luther King Day.
Of course.
No, but we're here.
We're here.
We're grinding.
You're damn right we are.
So, you know, I didn't have K-cups. So my first thought was, I need some coffee.
I got one for you.
And then Bob brought up breakfast. And I was like, well, all right, breakfast. I can do breakfast. So I was like, we either have to do delivery or like an Uber Eats. And he mentioned McDonald's. And I said, wow. You got my attention here, Bob.
How do you say no? How do you say no?
So I give you a lot of credit. You turned the breakfast down.
I'm good.
Which is very tough to do.
Yes, it is.
And then I said, Trey, is there any vegan options you would like from McDonald's?
Yeah, I'm good.
Now, let the record show. We didn't get into this last week, but in case you haven't heard this, Malcolm Jenkins watched the documentary on Netflix called What the Health, which I identify as a vegan propaganda film. All right. And it was a good movie. It was a good documentary. I enjoyed it. I didn't drink milk for like 3 months, but then after that, I got right back to drinking milk. But Trey saw it as well and went full vegan.
Full vegan!
Threw the food out.
That's it. Done.
He went to the pantry and said, nope, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're cool.
Miss Rosa emptied the refrigerator.
When my wife watched it.
Oh.
Yeah, when the missus watched it, that was it.
All right.
Yeah.
So then last week we're in here, we're all enjoying some breakfast, and lo and behold, I see Trey opens up a carton. The little like to go carton type thing opens it up. He's got like what, an egg white omelet?
Yeah, a little egg white omelet.
Did you take a day off from veganism?
Just some egg whites.
Did you retire your hemp sweater?
I didn't do the yolk.
You didn't do the yolk.
Yeah,
that's where the soul of the chicken is.
Oh,
so you remove the yolk. The egg whites, therefore, just like, you know, some white stuff.
It's
fry
like
up.
The afterbirth.
Jesus, Bob. I'm trying. We're going to be eating eggs shortly. God.
I'm fine with afterbirth.
Bob. Thanks for ruining eggs for me.
Yeah, so I did the egg whites, man. Sure. A little something. But I tell you what, it's been a challenge lately, especially on game days, you know.
Yeah, man.
When I'm sitting around having buffalo cauliflower.
Yeah.
It just ain't the same.
But I've had that, though. That is good.
Sometimes I want a wing.
Sometimes you want an actual chicken.
I just want
chicken.
A wing, man.
I'm with you, man.
But, you know, it's cool.
Now, I've never had buffalo. I had a friend tell me that it's really, really good.
Buffalo cauliflower is good.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good. It's good.
It's no delicious chicken wing, though.
It's not a wing.
Buffalo cauliflower and the Brussels sprouts, right? Mm,
those big Brussels
those two things have become like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Like Brussels sprouts when we were growing up, Jamie.
I wouldn't touch it with a 6-foot pole.
And but I don't think any generation prior to like the millennial generation.
Now you throw a little like bourbon glaze and some bacon in there, it's the greatest thing ever.
Now bacon is cheating, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
But like no, my wife does this she does like this vinegar thing over there and bakes them.
It's good with everything. You know what I do?
Pans.
A little honey and sriracha, toss them in there, bake them up.
Talk to me.
That's a fine item.
That is.
Nah, this is where I draw the line.
What's that?
I can't do the vegan cheese, man.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's awful.
The vegan cheese is awful.
I had to make that for my wife's nephew. Oh, I was making pizza one night, and he couldn't have the mozzarella, so we had the vegan whatever, and...
The vegan cheese is... Yeah.
I took a bite of a slice of the pizza, and it was just...
It was just the texture,
It's like biting a cellophane-covered pizza.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
All of a sudden, I don't feel like eating breakfast anymore.
Yeah, the vegan cheese is awful, dude. I'm out on that.
Yeah, it's no dice. But you know what? While we're speaking of eating, I asked for exactly who we're going to have at Super Bowl Friday, February 1st, our inaugural Super Bowl weekend, and tailgate party at the Met in Philadelphia. We've been talking about all the teams that are in. We're going to announce some more names later on. But what about the tailgate party? Now, we've teamed up with the Philadelphia Cornhole League for the actual event. Go to 97.5.com right now if you want to download your free tickets before they run out. Now, the Cornhole Tournament, we've talked about the great prizes that you could win for being a part of the tournament itself. But how about this? For the people that are just showing up for the party, Philly Pretzel Factory is going to be there. Hers Potato Chips, they're going to be there. Beck's Cajun Cafe is going to be there. That place is out of this world phenomenal. Tony Roney's a classic. Deets and Watson's going to be there with sampling food.
These are like some of my favorite things.
I know, right? Pick a Lily Inn
is going to be there. They're going to be there. They're going to have samples for you. You can eat there. The beer sales will start at 7 in the morning, so you can have a beer with Trey Thomas right there.
Yes!
This is at Super Hole. Now, listen to this. For people that are showing up, you can participate in the Lori Loft, right? And you can win yourself some incredible prizes. Someone else that shows up as part of our giveaways for people that are just in attendance, you could win a trip for two to the Amsterdam Manor Beach Resort in beautiful Aruba. Go to aruba.com to plan your visit now. And one lucky person that shows up will win a two-year lease of a Honda Civic courtesy of the great people at Burns Honda. Bob, not too bad, huh?
Not too bad at all. There's no reason not to be there.
You're going
to
have a great time because you're going to be partying with us. Party.
We've already, Jamie and I have already had people ask us if we will tailgate with them at 4 a.m. before we start our 5 a.m. show.
That's going to be a good time.
I said no problem. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Twist my arm.
Yeah, right?
I mean, you know, it's there.
That would be rude not to.
It would absolutely be rude.
Okay, have to set a precedent there.
Yes,
absolutely.
Because we are men of the people.
Yes, we are. That's our M.O.
Yes. That is what we are. And then we got the after party at Delilah's.
It was a champagne wrestling.
I believe all bases are covered.
Yeah, we're covered all the way around.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
There's champagne wrestling.
At Delilah's.
At Delilah's.
Hey, now.
And now some of the...
Who you wrestling?
I'm not showing up if Trey Champagne wrestling, man.
Sam is refereeing, from what I'm told. I can't confirm.
She's our blue.
She's our blue.
You're my boy, blue.
She said instant replay galore, so she'll get it right, no matter what, because what matters most is getting it right. Brian in Dallas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, that is true. Certifiably.
I'm just going to talk quarterbacks, man. I try to be quick. But you guys kind of stole my thunder on Tom Brady. So I just want to add this to everything you said. I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm apathetic. I don't care one way or other. But when it comes to Brady, this guy's the only Super Bowl winning quarterback that does not, I repeat, has not had a Hall of Fame receiver, running back, or offensive lineman when he's won again. This guy's been a 9 Super Bowls, and the best team he's had, he lost. If that don't tell you how great this guy is, I don't know what else does.
That is weird. The Randy Moss year where they went off the hook and broke all those records, that was his...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.